This week on the Analog Assault Podcast, episode 114, we're giving our Game of the Year predictions and more. So, let's rustle some jimmies.
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
What's up, guys, and welcome to another Can I Talk? Can I?
Yes, another
episode.
It's the Jimmies.
It's the Jimmies. They're all rustled up right now.
Oh, my.
Sounds too rustled.
Welcome to another episode. This time, we're doing a little bit earlier. It's not Thursday. It's a Tuesday. So you're going to get the podcast a little bit earlier. We have our same cool cat hosts here. We have Rad. We have Crow. We have Lupo. We have Prime. So
what's happening?
Yeah. Before we get into the meat and potatoes, I'm all about the puns today. Just a few housekeeping here. If you like the content you see here, then consider hitting that sub button right there to help MSG keep the lights on. You can watch us live every Thursday night at twitch.tv/Mulehorn Gaming at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you want to be a part of this awesome community that we're all a part of, just hit !Discord. Jump in our Discord and get to know us a little bit better. And if you want Star Wars content, then check out Mulehorn Gaming on TikTok. So, guys, it's only been 4 or 5 days, but what you been playing, what you been doing, what you been watching?
You know, it's going to sound like a repeat from last episode that I listened to again recently, but Valhalla. Last night was the first night I hadn't played intentionally. Felt weird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I probably got about 3/5 through it.
Did you say 3/5?
Is that what you said?
It sounded like 3/5. Like,
three fifths. I was like, what
Ken
are we?
Has words.
I was like, what are we measuring? What is a fist measurement?
This plus this.
Yeah.
Plus another one.
Yeah.
Deep.
It's somewhere between a gallon and a handle.
Okay.
Yeah, but what Crow said. No, but on the areas that I'm pretty much a completionist, so there's little left in the areas that I've worked through. The story's gotten really good because I've been focusing more on the story. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to stop, but I have the cyberpunk itch so bad that the desire to play, like, I know that I'm dropping this soon. I have a couple of school nights in between. I'm not staying out playing Valhalla, so I kind of stopped playing it. But I did play Joe's Song of Iron last night on Xbox.
Yes.
His demo came out, and for an early access demo, it's pretty cool. It's a very simplistic but beautiful game, beautiful sounding game. It's pretty fun. I need to play it on PC because I hear the button reconfig makes the game a lot better for your controller.
Okay.
Taking me a few minutes to unlearn Valhalla and learn how to play this. And it is pretty cool. Joe has a really sweet indie game that he's making, and I can't wait to see the final form. It's going to be awesome. Check it out. Song of Iron on Twitter. You should be able to find his links for Steam and Xbox for the game that you should play. Watching wise, His Dark Materials, I finished season one. Absolutely love it. It's a new sort of favorite. Cannot wait to start season two. Nate said it's good. And so that and Mando, it's all I've watched, man.
Ooh, Mando. Yeah. Oh, Mando.
And then Mando was so good.
We haven't talked about that one yet. Oof.
Wait, Rad, did you watch it?
Into that.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh my gosh!
It's been a bad weekend. I know a lot about it, though. My boss accidentally spoiled it. He was like, and I was like, well.
Oh, okay.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's
we're still friends, I guess.
You know.
Next!
Unlike Rad, I did watch Mando. And I watched it actually three times this week.
Oh,
yes.
Because I watched it one time on my lunch break at work on my phone, which was meh. So then I watched it when I got home again. And then I actually watched it today just to get a little refresher, because also I was listening to Kevin and Darkness 429's podcast that they do, Star Wars and Scotch.
Yep.
And I was just like, I want to see if I can see some of these things and like pick up on some of the stuff they were talking about. And boy, they laid in to that episode. They were not happy with some of the things.
Kevin didn't like it. I remember seeing his tweet and he was like, I'm underwhelmed.
I was like, what?
And everything else I saw indicated the opposite.
Yeah, it's like, so I tweeted back, did we watch the same episode?
Yeah, I wasn't even going to respond to that.
I was like,
I think he had too much scotch.
Yeah, I won't tag him.
Yeah.
But anyway, I enjoyed it. I see some of the problems. Yes. I was a little weirded out by, after they talked about it, like rewatching it, about a certain character's like personality change and what they did. So I was like, okay, but we'll talk about that another time. Other than that, I've been playing some Genshin, did some more Destiny. We did some raids on Saturday. We actually got three raids in
like
what day? It's about 6 hours total.
Not even.
It's like not 5 hours.
Yeah.
5 hours. Yeah. And that's from like start getting everybody together to
explain mechanics and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. We had to teach someone. Pretty efficient. Yep. So other than that, prepping for PSO2 tomorrow. I'll be playing that instead of Cyberpunk. Just because it'll be out when I get home, so I'll be doing that. Not really much else. I think that's about it.
Right on.
So I guess I'll go next, because usually I'm last, but I'll let Rad be last today. Same thing. Playing a lot of Destiny, obviously. Beyond Light has been I'd say it's a pretty enjoyable experience. I really enjoy the raid. Playing it with friends is awesome. In case anyone missed it, they did announce today that Destiny 2 will be cross-play fully in 2021.
I did see that.
So that's pretty incredible news. Like, you know what? I've talked a lot in the past about like Destiny as a service game, not like the Destiny game as a service, but like a lot of streamers use the game as a service, you know, to propel their communities, you know, like raid carries, trials carries, this and the other thing. And this is going to be like immense for those particular types of communities. Like when I started streaming, we were doing, you know, raid carries on Xbox. And now, you know, being primarily PC and having community members and clan members that are Xbox that have not been able to do that content because a large portion of like the you know, the raiding players are all on PC now. This will give that opportunity to rope some of them back in and really unite our clan as one, which would be a really awesome thing. Other than that, like I've been playing Genshin Impact as well. I think I'm going to take a backseat to some of that because as much as we've talked about it a lot last week, our former co-host and current editor, Underdog, gifted me Cyberpunk 2077 this week. So I'll be playing Cyberpunk
you what tomorrow. He did.
Oh, I didn't realize he gifted it to you.
Yeah, he gifted it to
me. Okay, dope.
So I'll be playing tomorrow as well, at least for a little bit. I got a lot of like work stuff going on, but it's something that I will be playing.
At least 60 bucks worth, buddy.
I will fit it. I will finish the game before Mule.
Oh. Challenge.
Oh. We need to put something on the line for that.
I was going to say we should do a poll for which like one of us finishes it first. I think that would be fun.
Hold on.
And who finishes last? Because we know who's going to finish last.
I will finish it before Thaddeus Prime just because he has to complete every single area.
We'll all do it before
that. I just have to go against. So if I'm the guy who does all the PvE stuff and Mule's the guy who does all the PvP stuff and we both don't finish games, we are the other side of the same coin here. So
yeah.
I can honestly compete against Mule in this race here. And
okay, I'll give
I have a good feeling about it.
Between you two, whoever finishes it first gets to keep their beard.
See, I don't
think I was gonna say
finishes it first. Mm. I think it should just be.
I would have to get a divorce after that.
I like your wife.
I don't think you like your wife, Brian.
I'm down for burning Crocs. So if Mule wins, he has to burn Crocs. If I win, I have to burn Mule's Crocs.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
There you go. It's a win-win for the world.
No, we should make it where it's like not who finishes first because there's so much side stuff. We should make it who finishes it. Like, if you finish it, then you get
what constitutes if, what credits. Constitutes finishing the game.
Then you need credits. To do. You need to do.
I get the credits 100%. In 2 or 3 days. You know me. I can do that.
Yeah.
But what constitutes actually finishing the game? Like, I don't want to like lessen my experience. You know, like I'm gonna go in right now.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I know there's a lot of side stuff because I was watching Eric's video and I was like,
Nate,
I don't want to miss all this. Mm-hmm.
I like what Nate has to say.
Yeah.
I like what Nate has to say.
What's whoever loses has to play through Witcher 3.
Oh my gosh.
Neither of them have finished it.
Deals
off. I've never played it.
Maybe after you play Cyberpunk, you'll be more interested because it's probably going to play fairly similarly, minus third person. I don't know.
This does prompt my next proclamation because I did realize this like a couple years ago before the Xbox One came out. I went back and I played 50 unique games in the course of six months, and I haven't done that since. I've basically been playing Destiny ever since. So this year, in the course of the next 55 weeks, I'm going to finish 50 games.
Dang. Wow.
Mm. I'm gonna do it.
You need something like a bullet check mark or something for each one of the games that you finish. I need to see
that'll have to become a segment. Like every week we'll check in, you know. I'll come up with some alliteration, Lupo's L something.
Do it.
Yeah. I got you.
I feel challenged now though, Lupo. I'm gonna be hitting that hard.
There needs to
I'm
be some 60, wager. 60 games because
I have my backlog is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because you know, I was looking at Game Pass today and I like looking at this list of Game of the Year nominations, I never finished Doom 2016. Let alone Doom Eternal.
Who let this guy on here?
Yeah.
Good question.
I'm gonna be honestly up there with Thaddeus because I've heard from some of the reviews that are starting to come out, it sounds like a lot of the side quests are actually like a lot better than the main story, and the game, from what they've said, like pushes you to the main story. But I think that's because like it's pushing you so that you're meeting more people that will have side quests and stuff for you to do.
Yeah.
I think with The Witcher 3 had a lot of side quests and a lot of them were kind of like, this is just for fun. Doesn't really have any impact. Mm-hmm. Or it's just some of that was just like, this didn't have a point, but it was kind of cool to do. I think what I'm hearing as well, like Crow said, these side quests are a little more meaty, a little more content driven. There's a little more to get out of it. So it's not just like, you know, fetch quest here, fetch quest there. No, something's going down. You're going to have some interaction. It's going to be meaningful.
That's good.
I wonder if there'll be more like the Yennefer and Triss quests, where those were more meaty quests that, you know, I mean, I was a Yen lady, so it really like hit me, you know, but. Because some of those fetch quests were like meh, but if more of them, you know, in the new trailer today, it was like they were really like putting like people, you know, characters on the screen that we had not seen yet. I'm like, are all these people going to be important? Because I'm here for it, you know. So
what if we have as dark and intense as I hear this game actually is, a lot of bloody Baron style quests?
Yeah, that's a good quest.
That was a deep quest.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting. And another thing, like another kind of like on the note of side quests and everything, a lot of people are saying that Keanu was actually the worst actor in the whole game. Not that he was bad, that just everyone else does really good.
I believe it.
And Keanu is just Keanu. He's
one of his
kind. He's like cockroaches and Cher. He'll be around forever.
He doesn't age, so there's that.
No. So.
Yeah. He is immortal.
So Lupo,
he's lost in the Matrix, is why.
Have you been watching anything? I don't want to cut you off or go before you're done.
Yeah, I started watching ReZero. So it's an anime. It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. It's actually very hard to explain. And I don't know how to feel about it, honestly.
Basically, a guy gets transported to another world and he has the power to come back from death at, like, basically checkpoints.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, actually.
Yeah, but it's really gruesome.
Oh.
He doesn't just die. It's like,
oh, yeah, he feels everything. It's real gruesome. Like, I wouldn't recommend it to, you know, people that are squeamish. No.
Mm-mm. No way.
But it's pretty good. It's interesting. I'm into the second season. I literally watched almost the entire first season in 24 hours.
Nice.
Wow.
Right on.
21 episodes in 24 hours.
Nice.
All right.
Rad.
I'm going to go now.
Sit back.
I got my Hawkmoon today. So I had a very productive day. Very nice. Love it. And that is a great quest. So for anybody who played Destiny 1 or if you're like super into Uldren / the Crow, it's a great quest. It's really, really fun. I raced through it too quickly, but you know. And then the raiding on Saturday was super fun. Thank you to you guys for helping me through two of those. That was really great. Thank you to Lupo for virtually teabagging me. that was truly more enjoyable than I could have ever imagined.
You got Jimmy'd.
I got Jimmy'd, baby. So for those of you who don't know, we all said Lupo will get the Eyes of Tomorrow first. He got it. I was watching his stream at that point, and then he looked into the camera and said, "Would you say suck it, rad?" Or
no, whatever. I said rad.
And then he was just teabagging, and I was like, "Okay, screw." But that was super fun. Do I have to finish the Beyond? I don't think you have to finish the Beyond Light story to get Hawkmoon, but you do have to do the Crow stuff. You have to like open unlock him as a vendor, and then you can do that. So, cool. And then so something that I think Dark and a couple other people had mentioned previously was Tetris Effects, which is free on Game Pass for PC.
Yeah,
I think also on Xbox. And I downloaded that and have been playing it. I think it gave me a migraine, but it's beautiful. I'm gonna like
I've my heard nothing dad, but good things about it.
Yeah, I do think it gave me a migraine though, so I think I have to just play it like the beginner levels. The more advanced ones are really fast and there's just like a lot of lights and whatever, but I'm going to show it to my dad. My dad, like, he's the person who I think of when I think of Tetris. So I was like, "Dad, I'm going to put him in this chair right here." You guys don't know what my dad looks like, but he looks like me, but a man with a belly. And I'm going to put him right here. I'm going to put this headset on him. I'm going to set the mood and I'm going to let him play Tetris on my computer. And then I'll kick him off and play Cyberpunk. But
it's been 8 hours, Dad. It's time to stop.
All right, Dad, get up. I got an appendage to get. So, you know, that's what I've been doing. I finished Orange is the New Black. I think I had mentioned that I was working through the last scene of that. It's upsetting. Most of the women do not get good endings. So it's kind of depressing. And I've not watched a new episode of Mando. And that's all I got. The heater
lots
is
of points
on.
Given, I'm gonna floor that. The heater is taken on. Away.
Yeah, I know. It's cold here. So, you know, kick the heater on. There you go. It's Florida.
Right on. Mule.
I am kind of in that weird spot that you get in every once in a while where there's just not really a game that's really pulling you in, man. And
except there will be tomorrow.
Yes. I mean, the only thing I've really been thinking about is Cyberpunk. I was excited to play it because it's futuristic and stuff like that, kind of like we talked about on the last episode. But after Prime sent me Eric's video and I watched it, I was like, okay, because I love the way he described it. He said it's an RPG, 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 then a shooter. And the first thing I started thinking about is like, okay, is this going to be kind of like Mass Effect? Because like Mass Effect was a little bit of a shooter mixed in with a lot of RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And the story was enticing enough to keep me in. And it actually, my hype meter moved, Prime. You moved my hype meter.
I know. I saw that in chat. I'm like, yes.
So I was like, okay, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to go. I need something to pull me in because,
you plus, know, his play style sounds like you. Run and gun and go.
And you get the
blow and bust things up.
Yeah. Like, I want to go in and talk to this guy. And he's like, hey, I need you to go over here and steal this for me so I can put it into this guy's head. I'm like, all right, you just show me a place and I'll go punch him. It's like, that's what I want to do. Watch some more Rebels with the wifey. Played more Star Wars, which, by the way, shout out to Lady Lorani. She sent us a fat raid last night.
Nice. Oh, that's
huge.
Great.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm just patiently waiting for Cyberpunk. Oh, and of course, Mando. I watched Mando and it was, I didn't think they could top Ahsoka. I really did not think they could top that episode. And I watched it that morning with my wife because it's only like 32 minutes. So I dropped off the kids from school and we both watched it on the TV before I started work at 8. And we were both like, oh my gosh, what? That was awesome. Did you see that? Like, it was great. And so like the whole rest of the day, I knew how good it was because I was over the top, but the wifey kept coming back to me and said, I need to talk about this. I'm still processing this. I really like this. And I was like, okay, that's when I know that they topped Ahsoka because she was even like just sucked in. So I'm not going to go into spoiler. We'll save that for maybe another episode or so when we get back because I think next episode you are doing audio only and we won't have a podcast again until after New Year's. So, but yeah, that's been about what I've been doing. So guys, let's get into it. Game of the Year nominations. We're going to go over a few categories. Game of the Year, Best Game Direction, Best Ongoing Game, Content Creator of the Year, and Performance of the Year. And I'll just start us off with Game of the Year noms. We had Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Animal Crossing New Horizons, and Last of Us Part II. So, give me the dirt. What do you guys think? What do you think doesn't deserve to be up there? What do you think will win it? And why?
I think a lot of them deserve to be up there. I haven't seen much of Hades. Animal Crossing was huge this year. Last of Us Part II was huge and controversial. I never played it, actually. Final Fantasy, never really got into it. Doom Eternal looks amazing. Heard nothing but good things about it. Haven't played it yet either. But my jam was Ghost. And Ghost, it really surprised me how awesome it was. And so for me, that was my easy pick. Had I played Last of Us 2, I could maybe weigh more on possible balance between the two. But I didn't play it, so it was an easy sway to Ghost for me.
Yeah, I think of those games, I also only played Ghost. I don't like to play zombie games, so I didn't play The Last of Us, but I did watch the full narrative of the original game, and so I watched the full narrative of The Last of Us 2, and I watched some streamers play it, and I think just for like how it wasn't necessarily surprising how good Ghost was, but I think it was. It lived beyond the hype, and I think just that is what's going to propel it to win. If The Last of Us wins, I won't be surprised. It is just a very, you know, first of all, there was a lot of controversy about it. I'll talk about that when I do my nomination part for performance. But I was very moved by that narrative as well. And so I'm like kind of like a little emotional thinking about it. It was just a very good narrative. Like even the gameplay that I watched was very good. And I wouldn't be surprised if something with the gravity of that, just like the moral of the story and the sort of the circular, you know, I've used narrative like 8 times, just like the circular narrative that they're trying to tell. it was really, really, really good. So I think it's going to come down to those two. But I also like shout out to Hades for making it. I mean, that was kind of like a late in the year entry. Yeah. And I saw a lot of people on Twitch playing that. Dr. Lupo was playing it. Like, and they were just, all the people who I saw playing it were raving about it. I mean, they, shout out to, I don't think Hades is going to win, but I've heard it's a phenomenal game.
I want to try it. I watched a lot of streams that never played it.
Yeah, and it's only on PC and Switch, so I think that really limits. Like, my husband would love that game, but he doesn't. He does not. He built me and bought me this PC, but he does not come over here. you know, so like if it was on Xbox, I would have gotten it for him because I know he'd love it. But I think that's probably one of those things that's going to limit it. I know that Ghost and Last of Us are both exclusives, but a lot of people have access to PlayStation. I think Switch and PC are two platforms that aren't as universal. So. I don't know. I think that Ghost and Last of Us to me are neck and neck.
Yeah.
Ghost has my pick, but I don't. I think
honestly, like, I think Animal Crossing is a lot closer in the race than anyone in this conversation is going to even admit it to be.
Yeah,
because Animal Crossing single-handedly created the vacuum of Switch availability.
Sure.
Single-handedly did that. Yeah. And kind of made a social atmosphere when the world needed it the most. So if you're going to look at it, is it like a game that's like defining a genre? Like it kind of is, but like what Animal Crossing did above any other game this year is really bridge a lot of gaps in a time where not just America, but the world needed it, you know? So I think, if you go beyond like the gameplay and what kind of impact the game had on the industry, and then you had Ooblets come out like very shortly thereafter, which is basically the same game. If you didn't see Ooblets or at all, it's like an indie game that basically is designed the same way as Animal Crossing, but super super popular, created a huge demand for the console itself. Literally, people were losing sleep and, you know, not working, some involuntarily, to play Animal Crossing. You know, you literally sell your soul to Tom Nook and try to afford your virtual living space. You know, and it's really crazy where it's gone.
We're some of the few that got out.
The Game of Awards strictly fan voting?
No, they have the players vote choice that will. Which were actually the player's voice that was counted, Ghost of Tsushima won.
Because I know, like, I went through all the categories and voted, but I don't know, like, because I think that if it's a popular vote,
I think they have percentage weighting on stuff like that, where it's like mostly like
the Oscars.
It's like
a panel. Okay, that's what I figured. I just didn't know. But that's a great point, Lupo, and you're totally right. I was always going to say my piece. That was the thing I wanted to talk about was Ghost and Last of Us. But I don't know what they take into consideration when they're making those determinations, because that's a great point. I mean, like, Animal Crossing was the reason 90% of humans got through the first part of COVID. that's how we got through it. That's a great point. For sure.
But then, you know, Nate was talking about it in chat, and like we've been talking about it a lot over the last several months. Like, Final Fantasy VII just shouldn't even be in the conversation because it's a remake. I understand, like, it's a very good remake. It's a fantastic looking game, but the game came out in 97, you know, like for all intents and purposes, like,
you're taking a spot.
That is a 1997 game. Like,
I think it's a filler spot for sure. Filler.
Yeah,
but like there's other things that could, like, and honestly, like, I don't think Doom did anything groundbreaking to deserve being on the Game of the Year listing. Honestly,
don't win Game of the Year.
No,
never do. Except for Modern Warfare, like the original Modern Warfare.
Yeah,
That was a while back.
Yeah, well, it's 12 years ago. Yeah. But I just think it's just a weak year for releases as a whole.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that this list is indicative of that, but I think that without like other like huge AAA titles in this list, that's where you see that.
Well, I mean, if Cyberpunk had come out in April, it'd be on the list, you know? like that's again just another indication of what this year did to a lot of games.
Doom is, it's because like I said, shooters don't win game of the year. I agree, Final Fantasy shouldn't be on there. Hades, the bit I saw, it was cool, but it wasn't game of the year material for me. It's really between, for me, it's between Last of Us and Animal Crossing.
Over Ghost?
Yes. I didn't play it, obviously. I didn't play Last of Us either. But from what I watched of both of those, I vastly enjoyed The Last of Us over Ghost of Tsushima. And I played Animal Crossing, really enjoyed it. Didn't sink my whole life into it like some other people, but
for a period of time,
a month or so, we did. But yeah. got our money's worth out of it.
Sure.
Yes. Fair.
But yeah, that's my two cents.
I'll say one thing before we move to the next subject for prime time. For me, here's what I think will happen. My choice is Ghost because the story was just phenomenal. Just the immersion. I've never had a game that I felt so immersed in, especially when I got to do like the poems and things like that. Like even as a Leroy Jenkins that I am, I was like settled and still and immersed. Like I was like this. And I think it's really going to come down like Dark was saying was to two, which is Animal Crossing and Ghost of Tsushima. And I think Animal Crossing will come close to winning, but I don't know because Nintendo, you know, it's got the Japanese culture with Nintendo, right? The way that the Japanese gamers embraced Ghost to me makes me think that that's going to win because they were like everything that I saw about people just enjoying the game because of the culture and how spot on it was with certain things. I think that's what's going to give it the leg up over Animal Crossing. I think Animal Crossing did more for the gaming community and more for people, you know, during COVID and things like that. But I really do think since Ghost just hit on so many levels for people personally and because of the massive amount of gamers that are in Japan, I think that will actually push it slightly above. We'll see, though. I think it's going to be one of those two for sure.
I think whichever game wins Game of the Year, I think it's going to be between Animal Crossing, Ghost, and I do think Last of Us will. If it wins, I wouldn't be surprised. But between those three, any one of those deserves it. I do truly believe so. Yeah.
Right on.
Someone brought up a good point. Why was Star Wars?
Yeah, what happened? That was weird.
Not even
too late. It was too late in last year.
Does it just miss?
There was actually developers talking about that. They did not miss the deadline. They just chose not to put it in because they didn't feel like they could.
For last year or this year?
It would have been eligible for this year.
No, yep. what I'm saying is it came out too late in last year where the people have forgotten about it.
It didn't.
Done for me lately? And which is why Hades made the list, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Do you think, very quickly, because I always like Lupo's insight, do you think that will happen to Cyberpunk?
Potentially.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
it depends on if 2021 is full of hitters, Cyberpunk will be forgotten about.
Okay. If you look at it, if you've looked at like past years, stuff that comes out after the Game Awards or within the week of the Game Awards up until New Year's, anything in there doesn't go on to the next
year. That's wild. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think they care about it that much, but okay. Prime, you're up.
Next, we have Best Game Direction. We have Final Fantasy VI Remake. Is it seven?
Seven.
Didn't type that right. Seven Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Half-Life. I believe that was the virtual, the VR edition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And The Last of Us 2. Just like kind of before, Ghost is the only one I played. I would have loved to play the Half-Life VR, but I don't have a rig or VR. So that didn't happen, despite my fact, the fact I love all things Half-Life. Half-Life 3, baby, someday, come on. So Ghost of Tsushima was my pick. I love the direction on that. I love story from beginning to end. I love how it all played out. Just fantastic. Yeah. So that's my take on the direction. You guys.
Directions. It's hard to go on. Ha ha. Anyway. No one got that, I guess.
Yeah, it was a direction pun. I get it.
Felt that in my jimmies.
I think it's going to definitely be Last of Us, because I think the story was controversial enough, but good enough for a large enough demographic that they probably will get that, since they won't get Game of the Year.
I think when I voted initially, I was like screaming Ghost for everything, but I think I actually watched the narrative of Last of Us after I made my choices. I don't remember. But just like I said with Game of the Year, I think that Last of Us, it's so beautifully done. I mean, you see the same story from two directions, and you watch how it comes together, and then, you know, you have these heartbreaking, I don't want to spoil too much for people, but you have these heartbreaking moments of characters that, you know, you've really, you know, grown to love. And I could just see just sort of the gravity of that taking it. It's just a very well done game. But Ghost was so beautiful. I mean, it was like a movie watching it half the time when you're in those cutscenes. So either of those, again, you're gonna hear a similar theme from me, but either of those are gonna win that one for sure. My vote is for Last of Us, I think, as well.
I would say I agree with a lot of the Ghost opinions on here. That like they did so much to like pay great homage to like traditional Japanese samurai film and stuff like that. So I think that's a lot of things that they did well in the direction of Ghost. But I really honestly, and I hate putting it in this category because I just said it shouldn't win Game of the Year or it shouldn't even be talked about. But the direction of the Final Fantasy VII remake is fantastic, because they took a turn-based RPG and turned it more into like an action RPG. So I really do think that the new take on the game could win it best direction. I don't think it's going to happen because of the unique narrative behind, you know, Ghost and Last of Us that I don't think it'll be in that thing. But I do appreciate the fact that like they took, you know, this JRPG, you know 90s style turn-based RPG and turned it into like a more action style RPG, which I think it really did look fantastic. As much as I don't think it should be Game of the Year, I do think it looks fantastic.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Very good point.
Nice.
What you got, Mule? You said Last of Us, right?
Yeah, I think it's Last of Us for sure. Next category up.
Scarecrow. Yeah, next category is Best Ongoing Game. So, ongoing games, we have Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Call of Duty Warzone, Fortnite, and No Man's Sky. Which, that's a diverse group of games right there.
Yep.
And again, a lot of them have a lot going on.
I've got big things to say, so I'm waiting for the cue here.
Let's hear it.
Before we start, again, I'm going to reiterate, shooters don't win game here. I would consider Warzone and Apex Legends just shooters.
Yeah, but Apex has the
Fortnite has got its thing going where they just, I don't know.
Didn't Destiny win last year?
Fortnite.
Pretty sure Destiny won last year. Oh no, they had. I think they had best community support, actually.
Yeah,
maybe they won something.
Fortnite. I think it was Fortnite. I can't remember.
I think it was Fortnite. I think you're right.
Yeah. I know it's going to be really biased, but I really think it's going to be Destiny.
I don't think so.
Unless it's Fortnite.
I don't think either, honestly.
You don't?
Crow, no. I love you, but I want to hear Lupo.
It's going to be No Man's Sky.
Oh, I think you're right. That was my pick.
because as much as like they've done really well with supporting Warzone, the player base hates the game more than they enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's and you never see that. You never see the player base say one good thing about the game. They just, you know, people are just so ingrained with Call of Duty culture that they feel like they either they have to play it or kind of enjoy it. And every time there's a new update, they hate it immediately and then kind of just fall back into the rails of like playing it more. Apex, like I just feel like the hype for Apex just is not there anymore. Like Apex is more like a really dedicated fan base that is really dedicated to like the ranked aspect of it now.
Yeah.
You know, like Apex is a lot more about the ranked. And then Fortnite, like as much as Fortnite is like still like this mega, you know, pillar of the gaming world right now, you don't hear people talking about it every second of every day anymore.
Yeah.
And as much as they're like events are pretty fantastic, like I don't think like people are like losing jobs and stuff to play Fortnite or grind out the battle pass of Fortnite anymore. So honestly, I really do think No Man's Sky is going to take this because for a game that launched in such a terrible, terrible state so many years ago, they have really turned the corner and they are literally defining how companies can take a bad game and make it a really fantastic one. And like, there's no better example of that than No Man's Sky.
But like, they've already done that, and it's been like what?
But they've done it two more times this year. They've done it two more times this year. Like they literally have come out and put out two new great patches this year to draw the player base back in. Like there's not another game that has done that like as frequently, except for maybe Destiny. But I just really don't feel like Destiny's going to do it. Like I think Destiny deserves a lot of credit this year for bringing back a large portion of the player base with Beyond Light. But I think No Man's Sky has just been so dramatically like engaged with making better content for their game. Like, you know, we always have to improve because of how bad the game was at launch. They're always looking to like really go above and beyond.
Mm. Yeah,
I have to say I agree, Lupo. I mean, that's a great valid point. The only thing that could see that could be a hiccup in that is that, and I'm gonna use this little example here. Man, Lupo, God, man, I hate Call of Duty. I hate it. See you again tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
that's the only reason why I think Call of Duty will win. It's because it's mega popular. Even though people hate it, they'll play it tomorrow.
But I think
No Man's Sky should win. But still,
but but you know, it, like Dark was saying, it's 50%. Devs who are voting, 30% media, and then 20% fans, right? So are devs going to look at it and be like, what is Warzone doing better than No Man's Sky? Nothing.
Nothing at this point, in my opinion.
Nothing. So, you know, when the biggest chunk is the people who are voting, you know, that's like what I said about Lupo mentioning Animal Crossing before. Like, okay, the devs are probably taking into consideration that Animal Crossing literally, like, took the world by storm. You know, that's something to consider. So, yeah, I think that No Man's Sky is blowing the rest of them out of the water. I'm saying that as a Destiny player. I don't necessarily feel like there's, like, phenomenal things happening to Destiny. Beyond Light was great. Beyond Light is phenomenal. I'm excited for Cyberpunk, but like I'm already falling into like, okay, I'm doing the same old thing every day in Destiny. So, you know, I certainly don't think Destiny's gonna win. It's nice that they're nominated, but I think it's gonna be No Man's Sky. I would like to see No Man's Sky. They deserve it.
I think the race is between No Man's Sky and Destiny 2. I don't even think the other three. I think the race is between No Man's Sky and Destiny 2. I think Warzone might win just because they haven't had a game like that. Like they haven't had they haven't had a game as a service. You know, so this is their first entry into the service where you have one game and then you update that over the course of so many years. You know, every time a Call of Duty, it's a new entry every year. New entry, new entry, new entry. Now, Warzone is a complete standalone experience that coincides Blackout with some of the other things. Blackout was not that. Blackout was part of Black Ops 4.
Mm-hmm. It was the start, but it was a thing that they worked on and it was continuing, but then they stopped and they went to Warzone.
Warzone came out.
It's not like it's the first thing. It's the first one to be like a free-to-play thing. Yes, to have a free-to-play standalone thing. But that was just, I don't know if I'd call that a whole new direction. A whole new item.
It's their first service game.
And I'm saying you're gonna have Blackout was partially still a service game. They did the Battle Pass stuff.
Yeah,
they did all that fun stuff that is in.
But it's not like they went beyond the first year. So when Black Ops was done, you know, they really stopped the major support on Blackout
because Warzone came out.
Yeah.
If Warzone hadn't come out, I think Blackout would still be going like that.
Can I change my mind? I'm gonna say Fortnite because it has Mando in it.
My God.
God.
Next category.
Kratos dance. I was like, no, don't do that to Kratos.
Alright, so the next
I wanna have an opinion, maybe, I'm just saying.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you would. Sorry.
It's gonna be a short one though. I pretty much agree with everything Lupo said, even though he's a jerk and tried to cut me off. I agree with what he said. Very valid points, and I think No Man's Sky could take it if everyone was honest. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on, Darklife, I'm going to stop you here. Because he says, thank Warzone for mainstream crossplay. Fortnite had Warzone 2 years ago.
Yes.
So I'm not thinking anyone except for Fortnite for crossplay.
Fortnite. Oh, my gosh.
Two years ago. 2018, they introduced crossplay.
Yep.
Dude, and how did they
get it? Including PlayStation.
Before that.
Including PlayStation.
Think how much money they're laying down, too, for all of the freaking rights to do, like, Marvel skins, Star Wars skins, and, like, God of War skins. That's a lot of freaking money in licensing, man. Like, yeah. I don't know how they did that, but they're pulling it off. It's amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing.
Rocket League.
I said Warzone. I did mean crossplay. Sorry.
I knew what you meant.
I got in the zone there for a sec.
Yeah.
The war zone. All right. Prime gave his dumb opinion. Just kidding. Now it's on to.
All right. So now we're going to talk about. I think this is a really tough race. Because honestly, I only really know a handful of these creators. So the next one is Content Creator of the Year. And with anything, like, enjoyment of content creation is subject to the end user, obviously. But I think we got to look at some of these nominees and see what they've done for the community as a whole, as even like the social and, you know, societal landscape we have this year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they listed Alana Pierce, J-Ann Lopez, which is actually let's see, she is Black Girl Gamers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Nick Merckx, Tim the Tatman, and Valkyrie Ray. So if I were to have to pick anyone, it would have to be Tim the Tatman. As much as I'm not like a huge fan of his content, watching Tim the Tatman lose so many Fall Guys games this year was freaking hilarious.
Content.
Hilarious.
It is free.
He
embraced who he is.
He has videos on TikTok where he's fighting in the gulag. And, you know, he has the voice chat on so you can hear them, you know. And, like, it's just hilarious watching his reaction because he'll kill a guy and there'll be, like, a kid on the other line that says, "You're fat, Tim!" And he's like, gosh, man. Because his reactions, because he's just such a nice guy, you know. And it's just funny to watch him, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I agree with Lupo. You know, the other creators or content creators are great. But I think Tim is just, you know, way above. I'm surprised just that like Lupo's not on there, and
it's like you can't give it to the same people every year, you know.
That's
true.
Like
Lupo and Dr. Ninja. Disrespect and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, and like and I think like the other like you got to look at like Alana Pierce too, because I don't remember if it was this year or last year where she left IGN, and that was a big deal.
Yeah,
you know, seeing like a very prominent content creator for a very prominent network, you know, and you know now she's doing some freelance and working with the Funhouse, and it was interesting to see that whole break. You know, there's a lot of really dark stuff going in that industry, you know, video game journalism and all that sort of stuff. So also too, like she came out as pansexual this year, so it's also empowering other content creators to just embrace their themselves, you know. So that's another thing that people gotta look at. This is a big year for people embracing themselves, because diversity as a whole, and that goes to Jan Lopez as well, you know, is a big movement this year. Facebook actually announced today that they have a a black content creators program to help aspiring black content creators gain some footing on the platform, because you talk about these, a lot of these people, like all of the big streamers, like they're all white. They're all white males, white females. Not saying that it's like any easier for you know, females. Like I know it's like a lot of the conversation as well, but like I think you know, diversity is not a huge thing in content creation right now, and it's a really encouraging thing, like being a Facebook partner, knowing that they're making a push to recognize diversity and stuff. Like people had a big problem with Twitch earlier this year about how they really didn't handle that whole situation very well, and you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah. It is. I think that's a great point. You know, I do think Tim will probably win, and then he won't be nominated anymore, like Ninja and Lupo before him.
Yep.
But I do think, you know, the bigger takeaway is that the more we make opportunities available for everybody, the more we're going to see more diverse nominations, and that's what's important, because the stories that people can tell, you know, it's not just, you know, there's not just, you know, one size doesn't fit all. So.
Right. Yeah, and 100%. I think Tim will win, because like Fake says, Tim is a decent player with an awesome personality. I think it's because Tim embodies what most gamers are, which is just an average dude that's pretty good at video games, at certain games, but not like amazing at some games. But he's just a bro, just a dude streaming, having fun. And it's like, dude, I could eat my potato chips and my pajamas and stream and probably get a better game than he could in some games, but he's such a fun guy and laid back guy that I think a lot of people just relate to him. I mean, I don't watch a lot of the big streamers anymore because they're just not really entertaining to me. Like I watch just Dr. Disrespect because his personality is hilarious. But like, I feel like with Tim is like, I have that like almost like a, I'm sitting with Prime on the couch playing a video game, you know? Like I'm at Rad's house and we're talking about Mass Effect and playing multiplayer or something like that. You know, that's what I feel like with Tim. He's like the average Joe's dream, you know? And I think that's probably why he will win.
Yeah. I'll come in the same boat. I'm only familiar with Alana and Tim. I've only started following Alana this year, but of Tim, I'm kind of followed for a while and watched a lot more and have had plenty of laughs. Watching his live stream and some of his post-stream vids on Twitter and TikTok, good stuff. Yeah. Just good content that I, like you said, Mule, just average Joe can relate to. He's not a phenomenal gamer, but his content comes from his personality, and I can always respect that.
Yeah. And I'll say, too, like he personally changed one of our friends' life that's in our circle. Ace, one of Ace's really good friends that streams and is kind of doing it like as a full-time gig as he's a stay-at-home dad. Tim went and raided one of his streams. I can't remember his name right now off the top of my head. But thank you, Fake. Tim raided his stream and now he is completely just blown up and changed that guy's life, changed his family's life.
Nice.
You know, so I think like...
Awesome.
Like, it's just that average dude persona, man. And he just like... I think he's just a guy that likes to help other people and have fun playing video games, and it's very relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really only like Thaddeus. I really only know much about Alana and Tim, and I think it's going to be very close between the two of them. I've been following stuff that Alana's been doing for a few years now. I only found Tim this year, but still really enjoy his stuff. It's going to be hard on those two. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm thinking it's going to be. It could be one of the others. I just don't know them. So I guess we'll see.
Yep. Fake said that he got 2K subs from Tim.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
Prime, did you give your opinion?
Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you for checking.
Rad was hesitating. Hold on.
For those of you who don't know, I'm notorious for interrupting, mostly Lupo, but sometimes it's other people, and I see Lupo. And I'm trying to be better. So, okay. I asked Mule if we could add this last one in here because what is a video game without the performance, you know, behind the games that we love? So I'm going to cover or start off, kick off performance of the year. So for this category is Ashley Johnson as Ellie in The Last of Us 2, Laura Bailey as Abby Anderson in The Last of Us 2, Daisuke Tsuji, I think is how you say his name, sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, as Jin Sakai, Logan Cunningham as Hades, and Najee Jeter as Miles Morales. Good for him, by the way, that guy getting in there. And just so if you guys don't know, Daisuke Tsuji is actually Jin Sakai's face. That is him. He what? Is that man. He
That's exists. Awesome.
That beautiful man exists in real life.
That Woo! Is too cool.
GG, Jin Sakai. And then Ellie also is looks very similar to Ashley Johnson, who does her yeah. voice too. That's cool. So I don't know if this is that controversial anymore because the game's been out for so long and people have learned to chill. I would love to see Laura Bailey win for Abby in The Last of Us 2. It doesn't sound like Laura Bailey. If anybody listening or watching, Lissa has, like, she's in 1,000 video games and she's also in Critical Role. And, like, I don't actually know what Laura Bailey sounds like because she does so many different voices. She's absolutely great. And again, just like, you know, the for those of you who don't know, the controversy around The Last of Us 2 was her character, Abby. She did something that many would consider unforgivable. And, you know, the story is really about her and Ellie sort of going head to head the whole time. Trying to kill each other. But like, I mean, Abby's story and her and Laura Bailey's performance. I mean, if you sit down and watch it and you just accept the story for what it is, it leaves like an echo. It took a part of me, her whole performance. I mean, it was truly haunting and so beautifully done and so great. So I would love to see Laura Bailey win. I voted for her cause I'm biased. But Daisuke, Tsuji as Jin Sakai. I mean, he amazing, just a stunning performance by him. So I would love to see Laura Bailey. She got my vote. I haven't seen enough of. I don't think Najee Jeter will win for Miles Morales. I would love to see Laura Bailey win for Abby. If anything, just to like kick in the faces of everyone who is mean to her. But I could also see Daisuke Tsuji win for. Jin Sakai in Ghost of Tsushima. And then Crow is giving his input.
Oh, how do I kind of reiterate this?
Sorry, Crow.
Basically what I was saying is that for me, it's a really close tie between Ashley and Laura. Ashley just squeaks out a little bit more. I didn't play it, unfortunately, but I watched the whole playthrough of it, and just that story is just so it hits you in the feels, especially for her, just what she had to go through. And
Abby's ending, though, I cried.
Yeah.
I cried.
I know a lot of people were really upset with the ending. I liked the way they went with it. Me too. I was happy.
They'll be back.
Yeah. But yeah. That's about it.
Cool.
I don't know about you guys.
Prime, what's your opinion?
Didn't follow Last of Us too much, but I have heard quite often that their performances were spot on. Mm. I mean, I know from the mocap for one was legit.
That's, yeah.
But I voted for Daisuke Jin, and then now you said that he just at his face as well, that just solidifies that vote for me because his performance was fantastic. I mean, I got caught up in the emotion of the character because he just laid it down.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Ghost.
I think for Jin all the way. I had watched streams for Miles Morales and the new Spider-Man because I haven't played it, obviously. But I think for me, it's got to be Jin as well. Especially after kind of what you were saying there. So with the whole you know, the actual being the face of Jin. So,
wow.
I don't really have so much more on that. So
Rad just dropped a picture of him in our Discord channel here, and it's no joke. That's him.
Yeah.
100%. Wow.
Yep. He got the facial expressions jaw and everything
all over again.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mocap not needed.
So he did the. Did he do the English, right?
He did the English.
So
yeah.
He did the English, and the other guy did the Japanese. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, Lupo.
Gotcha. I've got no horse in the race. Didn't watch enough Last of Us. I'm not just gonna just pick things out of the air. Like if I'm just gonna go off of like fan favorite, like I'll pick Laura Bailey because she's just done a lot of roles I like. She was Kate in Gears of War. She did Kuratsuchi from Naruto Shippuden. So I'll take Laura Bailey, despite past history.
Yep. There you
go. Right on.
Good pick.
Right on.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, I think that about wraps up most of our thoughts there with the game of the years, the performance and content creator, all that stuff. Yeah. Just real quick, I want to thank Trax and Robbie for the bits during the stream. Appreciate you guys. But any other closing thoughts, guys? Any surprises you think we'll have?
I have a dark horse surprise that won't happen, but I think it might.
Yes.
They have announced that Brie Larson will be, presenting an award. She's a big gamer. She did some podcasts, I think, earlier this year because she played a lot of Animal Crossing. I don't know if she's a big gamer, but she played a lot of Animal Crossing and did some podcasts or whatever. But I will be surprised, maybe not shocked, but it would be so dope if she's presenting at the Game Awards and they drop a Captain Marvel 2 teaser. I think that would be really fun. Gal Gadot is also going to be there, but that's because Wonder Woman comes out. So
yeah.
I just think Captain Marvel 2, maybe some Rogue action, would be very, very fun.
Yes.
Very fun. I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be dope. It'd be really cool.
There should be some Dragon Age 4.
There will be Dragon Age 4.
Yes.
As well. Yes. There will be Dragon Age 4.
Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't wait for that.
I wonder if there'll be any God of War stuff. It'd be interesting.
Ooh.
Ragnarok.
Yep.
Yeah.
Were we last little bit that I just the last little bit tidbit about Game Awards. Genshin got nominated for two awards for best role playing game and best new mobile game. And I think they could come away with at least one of them. I'm hoping they won. They won Apple's App of the Year award, and then Google. They got an award from Google, like Game of the Year or something. I don't remember the exact category, but doing pretty good. I think they could pull away with some of them. I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of everything as well. We didn't get all, obviously.
We didn't get all of them, but
we did not cover near all the categories.
Oh yeah, there's almost too many to even try. Yeah, almost too many to even try. Well, guys, I think that about wraps up the podcast tonight. Lots of great discussion, and like I said, next podcast will be audio only, and then after that, we won't be back until after New Year's, so we can all spend some time with the fam, celebrate the holiday season, and all that. So guys, if you like the podcast, make sure you visit newhorngaming.com about page to find more great content creators there. And if you're looking for some mule swag, we got it right on the homepage now where you can see some of our great shirts there. And if you would guys like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes. You can follow us all on Twitter. Remember guys, when in doubt, blow it up!
Blow it up! See you in 19.
Explosions!
We put into it.
Explosion like a razor crest.